I always try to encourage as many people as I can to read the lyrics. Amen. We can program our brains to speak when we read. Let our eyes read it. Our mouth say it. But listen to what the words are saying. Mean the words that you're saying to the Lord. Amen. That's worship. It's not just, oh, this song is a blessing to the Lord. No, your heart is a blessing to the Lord and your magnification of Him. And so as we go into this next song and you read the lyrics, if it bears witness with your soul, you can just give it to the Lord. Man, this is what my heart is saying to you, Jesus. This is my worship to you. And so as we just go into this time of worship, I just encourage you, don't just say these words, mean them. Mean them as you say them, amen?
I was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. You made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. There at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, then you walked right out again. Now death has no sting, and life it has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness to glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of His blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood. your sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood upon. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. You have brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Sing glory to His name. Glory to His name. Oh, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Sing that again. Glory to His name.
Glory to His name.
Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to I exalt. what gift of love could I offer to a king? What weight of words could be held within my offering? When he alone is worthy. What glorious song is inscribed upon my heart? This treasure held in an alabaster jar I pray to bring him all the glory. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all
creatures
here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What sacrifice could be equal to his own? The cross of Christ has declared that there is not I owe. Yet I know he owed all to him, all to him. So praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Our Father God, the infinite, the matchless King, magnificent, the living Christ, the servant Son, the prophesied, the saving One, the Holy Ghost. Give from above the faithful friend, the seal of love, this life, this heart, this song to him, my all in all, my everything. Praise God from whom all blessings. Praise him above the heavens.
praise God to the glory of his grace. Amen. I was told, can you turn me up here in this podium mic just a little bit? I'll let you decide if that's loud enough. You just say yes or no. Good? You can hear me good. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Better. Amen. Wouldn't it be a shame if I studied all week, prepared, and I just preached to myself? Which would be fine, because I need it. Amen. I need it. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read the whole chapter. Don't be burdened. It's only 21 verses. Amen. Don't beat up the preacher that wants to read the Bible. Amen. There's plenty out there that don't. Amen. That one wasn't a good joke, apparently. Well, we won't talk about them. Philippians chapter 3, I've titled this message, Victory in Jesus. Amen? Do we recognize the victory that Jesus won as believers? I believe in part we do. I believe that we have not grasped the fullness of our understanding and what God has prepared for us. And so I want to encourage us, just by the reading of God's word, through the apostles' ministry, give an understanding, amen, of what we have obtained because of Christ through his victory. Amen? Can anyone just say, I'm all right with more? Maybe. Maybe we are. I'm all right with more. Amen? Who would want to settle for a single portion if there was a double portion? I used to joke, well, I had a student in my youth group, his name was Elijah, and I said, your mom didn't want more for you, did she? Because he only had the single portion. No? No? Nobody? Nobody? Next. Praise God. But I always thought, man, if I want, I want all of it if I can have it. Amen? Man, I did not plan for it to fail that badly. I was prepared for some, but I wasn't prepared for all. But it's across the board this morning. Amen. Aren't you glad we can have fun in church? Amen. There's victory in him, and there are things that are obtainable in Christ. There are things that are just beyond our reach. Don't get me wrong. The victory, the ultimate victory, is heaven. It is being pulled out of this world, this fallen world, and being just born into this new life, taking off the mortality, putting on the immortality, taking off the corruptible and putting on the incorruptible. That is the greatest victory that was bought for us. And I want to celebrate in that, but I also want us to revel in the victory that's bought for us as we live each day. Because how many of us know I need the power of God each day? Me and Carly were talking yesterday as we were driving back from a little family gathering at my brother's house, and we were just talking because you can't help but watch people's lives when you're around. Any people watchers in here? Anybody just said, I just like to sit back and watch people, see what they do? Some of them are like cats. They're real entertaining. You know, my son's like that. You just sit back and watch him, and you're just like, what's going on? What's unraveling in that brain of his, you know? And so when you're watching people, you're looking and you're noticing things in these people. And as Christians, a lot of times what we recognize is in the lost people. You recognize the lost person's state, and you see what they're going through. And there's some, for us anyway, there's a recognition in us going, aren't you so glad that we're saved? Could you imagine living life without him? Here are these people, and they're living every day without the help, without the power, without the strength of God every single day. Could you imagine going through what they've gone through and not having the hope that's in Jesus? That's what me and Carl, we leave places and we just go, I could not even imagine going through what these people go through and not have the hope of Christ in our life. We're not like them because we have hope. We have the power of Christ in us. Amen. We have the victory that was won for us in Christ Jesus through the cross. He won the victory over death in the cross and his resurrection. And so we have that. And as his word said, the same power that rose Christ from the grave now lives in those who believe. Now that's power. Amen? But are we accessing it? Do we even understand that there it's available for us? And so this morning, I want to encourage us that as we go into the Word of God, that we understand that these things are the inheritance to the children of God, that the reason we have not is because we ask not. Amen? It really does just boil down to that. God, I need your help. Help is on the way. Because he's a good and loving father. Now, again, we've gone through a couple Sundays of prayer and praying and seeking after God. And we know that God is sovereign. Not every prayer is going to be answered because we don't know the repercussions of what is going to happen in the will of God or what he wills to happen. So we have to put our faith in whatever outcome comes. Because whatever the outcome is, we're going to need that same power to get us through it as if we needed it to answer the prayer that we were praying for. So whichever way it goes, whether God answers our prayer, like we heard this morning, a dear brother we've been praying for, he's not going to die of this cancer. To the glory of God, we saw the power of God through prayer be manifest right in front of us. You're thinking, man, this is crazy. This is reading my Bible, going, we don't see stuff like this anymore. You got to be a front row seater this morning to a miracle of Almighty God. Not just Bob and Jan's God. Hear me. He's not just Bob and Jan's God to pray and see their friends healed. He's our God. And he hears us and he considers us in the same way. Isn't that amazing? Y'all are not as astounded as I am about this. Y'all aren't. You know, in all of my learning, and I try to read so much of the Word because I want understanding. I want to know. I want to experience God by his Word, what it was meant for, how I was meant to interpret it in its context. I want it expounded to me by the Holy Spirit because I don't want to miss anything. You know what I'm saying? Could you imagine going to the theme park and paying, God forbid you go now. It's expensive. I have four kids, so I mean, I got to take them one at a time. That's basically where I'm at right now with it. We've made a deal. We're just going to take you one at a time, and then we'll rotate to a different park or something like that. But could you imagine paying all that money and only getting on one ride? Seems silly, doesn't it? Folks, our tickets have been paid for. There's no reason we shouldn't be experiencing all that he has won for us. Amen? And so I just want to encourage us by the word of God. Can we just go to Philippians chapter 3, 21 verses. Not that much. Not that much. We're going to get our week's worth of Bible reading in one take here. Amen? Please read more than this in a week. I'm just teasing with you. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation." He's talking about people cutting in on the gospel that was preached to them, trying to lure them away from the truths that are found only in Jesus, trying to convince them to work in their own strengths and their own abilities rather than relying fully on the power of God. Verse 3, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of all Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, I'm blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. I just want to stop there, and I want to just say it like this. This is what Paul's saying. I have placed my life in pursuit of knowing the fullness of life in the avenue that was presented to me, and I did my best in my own ability to accomplish it. And when I came to the knowledge of Jesus, when it was revealed to me that in him, everything that I had earned up to this point was nothing in comparison to him, I counted it as nothing. Who cares of the knowledge that I've tried to gain myself, of the deeds I've tried to do myself, of the works I've tried to sustain, my own righteousness? It means nothing in comparison to this great revelation of Jesus Christ. And so I count it as loss so that I can understand the excellence of this victory in Jesus. Who cares that you've been a churchgoer for 50 years? Who cares that you come every Sunday? Sick or not, rain or shine, your attendance doesn't matter when it comes to the deeds and the works. If that's the only reason you're coming is to punch the clock, he's saying all you've done that in is your own ability, and it's vanity. It's to build it's your own ability to come, present yourself before God and go, look how good of a worshiper I am. Look how good of a Christian I am, God, so we can bargain. And so when I call on you, you can look at my deeds and you can answer my prayers. So we do that as Christians a lot. I go to church because that's the right thing to do. When I was growing up in Sunday school, this is what we had to say. These are the songs that we had to sing. These are the scriptures that we had to memorize. All these things. Paul is expressing similarly to what we go through as Christians. It's the monotony. It's the over and over again. And he says, I forget all those things because all those things is not what God has required. God has required intimacy with him, relationship with him. So he forsakes the works of his own ability to do righteousness in God's eyes and said, now that I know that Christ wants me, I don't want to work for him. I just want to fall into the grace that he's bought for me. I want that power to then press me into wanting to be with his people. I want that power to push me in to wanting my heart to worship because I recognize him, because I understand who he is and what he wants from me. I'm propelled into worship. I'm propelled into attendance with the body, not because I must do it to be righteous, but because I must do it because that's where his presence is. And if his presence is there, that's where I want to be. Where two or three are gathered, there the Lord is. And if the Lord's going to be there, I want to be there because I love him. Amen? It's not, oh God, we got to go to church in the morning. Pastor Rafe always preaches till 12:15. Gosh, he always reads a whole chapter for sermon. He always does that. Rather than going, his word is precious to me. I can't wait to get there and know him in a way that I've not known him yet. I can't wait to get into worship. Who knows what's going to happen in worship to my heart? Who knows what place I'm going to see in his glory today? That's what our heart should be. We should be. That's what Paul is expressing. He goes, when I came to the revelation of Christ and who God really is, nothing could stop me from getting more of him. Isn't that incredible? I want to love like Paul does. In my own ability, I can't do that. My flesh gets tired. I hate the monotony of things. You know, you get in that routine. Carnal people, we do that. We love routine. I want that scraped out of my... I want to count that as loss so that I might know him, that I might understand him. And so this morning, I want us to just take a pause in our life, in our Christian life, not just our regular life, but our Christian life. And I want us to pause and I want us to say, when's the last time I turned the page to know him? When's the last time that I just took a breath and I just said, God, of all the things I've heard about you, I know a lot about you. And I would say in this group of people, you do know a lot about the Lord. But I don't think that you know all that you could. I think in all the miracles and all the things that you've seen in your lifetime, that's not all that God can do. There's more. There's more in him than just what he's done. What he's done should build our faith to go, if he would do that for me then, what is he going to do for me continuously? Because I'm his child, right? We're going to continue. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be founded in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul said, I will even let my flesh die. I want to experience what Christ experienced in his sufferings so that I might experience him in his resurrection. See, that's a part that Christians don't like to talk about. I don't want to suffer. Christ didn't purchase suffering for me. He just purchased prosperity for me. He just purchased comfort for me. That's not what he said. He said, in this life you'll have trial and tribulation. Right? In this world you'll have suffering and trial and tribulation, but fear not, for I've overcome the world. It is our suffering that acquaints us with God. It is the suffering that the Christian goes through, the experiences that we experience. Like I was telling you, when we people watch and we're watching people go through stuff and going, could you imagine going through that without God? Because every suffering that I've ever gone through, it has thrown me on him. It has thrown me on his mercies. It has thrown me on his graces. It has thrown me on him to go, God, I know you're powerful, but are you still powerful? Are you still able? Are you still able to move? Are you still able to get, the countdown is on. Are you able to make it in time? It pushes us to know him. It reveals to us a part of him that we'd not seen before. That's what I love about the Lord is as much as I've known, there is so much that I don't know. But I can tell you, the only way to know him is going through this life, living out this life, totally surrendered to him, not trying to do it in our best ability, but just fully surrendered to God. And when trials come, instead of trying to fix things on our own, how am I going to pay this bill? How is this person, you know, we got to get them to the best doctors. You want to throw yourself on all these other things. That's your strength. That's your mind trying to work out how to fix all these things. But I counted that as loss so that I might know him in his sufferings, so that I could know him in his resurrection. So as these things are going on, as I grow in the Lord, it should be in me that the first time or the first sense of trouble that comes, instead of throwing myself on a solution that I can come up with, that I throw myself on the only solution that I know that will either deal with the problem or sustain me through it. Because that's the power of Christ. That's what was bought for us, is that we not go through this life alone. And I look at people in my life that don't know God, and I watch them suffer, and I watch them struggle, and my heart breaks because I look at them and go, there is comfort for you. There's salvation for you. There's power for you. There's strength for you. There's sufficiency for you. But you don't know that, and you're having to deal with this life. You're having to deal with this suffering alone. See, God bought for us that we would go through this life with him never leaving us, with him never forsaking us. I have that confidence in whatever I will face, that God will never leave me nor forsake me. That any time that I call on the name of the Lord, I have an immediate representation with him. That Jesus says, I bought this that they might be co-heirs with me. That anything that you would have given me in that life, you will give to them. And God gave Jesus incredible power in this life. Don't you remember the Gospels? Do you remember how Jesus walked? I do nothing that my Father doesn't say to do. I only do what he says. I only say what he says. He was given to the Father because Jesus knew that I'm his son and he's my father. And anything I ask of him, he will give to me. Anything that I need, he will give me the sufficiency of it. Even if it's not exactly what I needed or wanted at the time, he'll give me exactly what his will requires to go through it. You know how I know he knew the Father? Because when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, do you remember his prayer? You remember? God, if you can, take this cup from me. That sounds like me. Amen? I'm not measuring myself up to Jesus the divine. I'm measuring myself to Jesus the man. If I don't have to suffer this, I don't want to, Lord. Jesus knew that he could go to his Father and he could make it known to him, I don't want to bear this. I don't want to bear the weight of the sin of the world. I don't want to bear it to the cross. But not my will. Your will be done. Remember that? Your will be done. And you read on a little bit further, you know what it says? That God's will would be done, that he would bear the cross, he would bear the weight of the sin of the world. But you know what God sent him? An angel that restored his strength, that allowed him to persevere so that he might fulfill his mission to the glory of God for the redemption of the world. And folks, the same power that was in Jesus that rose him from the grave, that was bought for us, that it might be made alive in us. That's what Paul's expressing here. And he's saying this. He said, I've not perfected this. I'm not the best at throwing myself on Jesus in times of need. This is what he says. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, having this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Did you hear what he said? He said, if you see anything in me, if you see that I've obtained something in the Lord, guess what? You can fall in right behind me because it's just as much yours as it is mine. All you have to do is ask. And not that I've obtained it all, because there's a lot laid before me, but I'm going to tell you what my heart is. I'm going to tell you what my prayer is. God, I want to attain it. I want to attain you the way that you've attained me. I want to grab so firmly a hold of you as you have grabbed a hold of me. That was his heart. Whatever that means, God, whatever suffering, whatever trial, whatever issue, whatever glory, whatever prosperity, whatever it is, reveal yourself to me that I might know you. Not just you in your name, not just you in your deeds, but I might know you as my Father, as my friend, as my Savior, as my Lord. I want to know you like that. Because before, we weren't allowed to know him. We couldn't be close to him. We were too dirty and he was too righteous. But Jesus bought us through his blood, through that redemptive flow he bought for us, the ability to know God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You had no choice to know God. You couldn't get close to him. But when you came into the revelation of who Jesus was, the door was open. It swung wide. You didn't have to wait any longer. You weren't hindered any longer. You could know him. You could hug him. He could hold you. It's the power of what Christ did. Brethren, join in following my example. And note that those who so walk as you have us for a pattern, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He's saying, there are people, and I've shared this with you about people who are just unwilling to come to this revelation because they love their own wants more than they love him. They want what they want rather than what he wants. It's not been revealed to them a glory or a treasure in him that is worth leaving what they've had before. So they've clung to what they're comfortable with. They've clung to what they're happy with, what satisfies them, even though they're not satisfied, because their bellies are their gods, and their bellies are always empty. So they're always eating up all these different things, but they're never satisfied. But we are not citizens of this world like they are. We're citizens of a different country. We're citizens of heaven. We're subdued by the revelation that Christ has bought for us, that this place is not our home. That what the victory of Christ was is that he bought for us the escape from our bellies being our God to now him being our God, him being our sufficiency. That's what allows us maybe not to have a whole lot, but still have more than the richest person in the world. That's what allows us to have that stability, that peace in our hearts. That's why we don't strive in the world to work out and make all this money and do all these things. It's like, if God puts that on your heart, do it. But if not, why are you chasing your belly in the world? Why are you chasing all of these things in the world? It's unnecessary if God's not led you to do it. But don't let this world condemn you to it being your God, to the knowledge of this world, defining how we come to church, how we talk to the Lord. Let Jesus define that for us. Let his relationship with the Father define that for us. Just a couple more scriptures I have for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 22. We urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the unruly, which it means warn them. That's what admonish means. Warn the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek what is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not utterly reject prophecies, but examine everything. Hold firmly to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Folks, we have to be careful not to quench the power and the life of God in our life, because what that leaves us is unsatisfied. Don't let that jump in on you. Don't let the dogs in, as Paul said in Philippians. Don't let someone cut in on you in this race. You know, I heard this story. I know I'm a little short on time. Can I just have a few minutes, maybe a little bit over? I just talked about 12:15. Here we are. Here we are. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Story. Two men running a race. One is winning the race. Incredibly winning the race. Someone from the crowd calls out, "You're running the race wrong." The guy that's winning looks up and goes, "What are you talking about? I'm winning." He's like, "You're running wrong." And the guy that's leading stops and he turns aside to the guy and they begin to argue about why he's running the race wrong. And then the second guy passes them and wins the race. There are things that are going to try to hinder us from running. "You're not running this race right." "What are you talking about? I'm not running this race. Is there another way that I should be running the race?" And meanwhile, someone else is running past us. We're losing our position in the race. Satan wants that about us. He wants our attention to be brought off the goal in which we're running towards. He wants our ability to know of all the good things of God to be stripped from us so that our life is not glorifying to God. Well, look at that Christian. They've been going to church for 20-something, 30-something, 40-something years. They're just as dead and decrepit and empty as me. We're letting other things grab us and steal from us the victory that was won in Jesus, the revelation and the knowledge that he's given us to not be hindered by those things as we run. As Paul said, don't you know that those who run in a race run for a prize? We're not running for no reason. We're running that others might see that there's something worth running for. Get in the race. That's why I'm running. How are you able to deal with the issues of life? You are decrepit and empty and without peace, but God is alive in me. That's how I'm sustained through this trouble. That's how I'm sustained through this trial. It is his power at work in me. And even if I don't see all that I want and I've prayed for, I know that at the end of this life, I will receive a reward which he paid for me, which is my victory, which was his victory, which is heaven and him. Unhindered. That's the glory of God. That's the victory that Christ has bought for us. That even if this life don't work out the way that I want it to, I'm still going to get my reward. The worst thing the devil can do to me is kill me. What a terrible defense for him. You're just going to open up the gates for me, buddy. The victory's been won over death, hell, and the grave. It has no power. I'm just going to read through my scriptures. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, it says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You hear that? I heard you just came to the faith. I hear that you came to the revelation of Christ. I'm praying for you now for the wisdom of his spirit, that you might know him the way that I know him, because whatever stands in your way is nothing in comparison to his power. Amen? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You hear that? You hear that promise? He said, this is why I'm praying this for you, because Jesus sits on the throne. The victory is already won, and everything in the earth, in heaven, and under the earth is subject to him. They're a footstool to him, and he has given all that he has obtained to the body of Jesus Christ. If we're in him, then we are in him all in all. Not all in some, but all in all. All of his victory is our victory. Because of what Jesus has done, we have the ability to offset the intentions of hell in our lives, in our children's lives, in our community's life, in this nation's life. It's time for the church to rise up again and say, all of this is under my King's feet. And if we would stand and be the sons and daughters of God once again, you'd be surprised at what hell is done to. You'd be surprised the places of darkness that are brought back to light. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised at the power that God has given to us as an inheritance for those that have believed on Christ Jesus. I will not stand by when someone says, so-and-so is sick. So-and-so is needs deliverance. I'm not going to stand by and just go, well, you know, God's will, whatever it is. It's like, no. Stand, pray, fast, seek God, throw yourself on him and go, God, if the power of heaven can be released, your son, your daughter is calling on you now. You promised it was ours. But above all of that power in this life, it is his power and victory to keep us. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, and who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or swords? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a promise to us who believe on him. What a power there is in him. Folks, we have no other choice in this time. Sin is too powerful for us apart from Jesus. Life is too great for us apart from Jesus. Satan and his angels are too much for us apart from Jesus. But nothing is too powerful for God. It's all under his feet. And guess who sits at his right hand? He's called us to sit with him in heavenly places. He's given me a position with him. Not a position of deeds and works, strengths of my own ability. He's given me a position of a voice, of a relationship with him, to where I can throw myself on him. No matter what comes our way, this thing seems too great. It's going to overcome us. What can overcome our God? Death is come afraid of death. Jesus overcame death, hell and the grave. There is now no fear for anything that is thrown at us because of him, because of his victory. What a victory we have in Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. What hope there is for tomorrow that seemed so bleak. Now, it's going to have a beautiful horizon. Because even if it's my last day, it starts my first day with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's there to fear? What's there to stress about? My God is all powerful. He's almighty. And he's all mine. And I'm all his. Will you stand with me? It's only 12:06. God, help me get through it. Just like he's helping y'all get through it. Can we just take a few minutes and just lay ourselves before the Lord? I don't mean literally. I don't mean physically. I mean spiritually. Just throw yourselves on Jesus. I want us to just take a minute. If you feel called to come down to the altars, you can. I would love that. I'd love to pray with you. I encourage that. But listen, we're all fighting every day a strength that we can't overcome. Only you know what you're battling, but I can tell you, you war against it long enough and you're going to get weak and you're going to get tired. Even as good of a little Christian as we are, that's just our nature. We're weak in our flesh. And so we must throw ourselves on the Lord and say, God, I can't fight this battle by myself. You have to be powerful now. In my weakness, you said that your power would be made perfect. And so I'm leaning on that right now, God. I've never been weaker than I am right now. Let your power be perfect in my situation, in my struggle, in my sin, in my temptation, whatever that is. Jesus is victorious. over it all. So let's just take a few minutes and just, you pray right where you are. We'll just seek the Lord as individuals, and then we'll close out in prayer. Amen? Amen. Just go ahead and begin to pray. Just come to you, and we ask you today that as we leave this place, we walk out of here as Christians in power, as believers in faith, in confidence, Lord God, that you are our God. We walk out of here satisfied and the peace in our hearts that you've brought sufficiency to our souls. You brought sufficiency to our hearts and our minds. You've set us apart from those in this world, not because we're so different in our flesh and our carnality, but when we believed on you, God, you won for us freedom. You won for us an inheritance that is now ours, that we can call on the Father and say, I need it. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your strength. I need your power. I need your peace in this season, God. And it's ours. You've given it to us. We're the sons and daughters of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that all of us are encouraged today. And we walk out of here with the mentality, Lord God, of what your word says. We pray for the spirit of wisdom to come on us, Lord God, that we might have the revelation of all the things that your word says to be truth. As David said, when his family was kidnapped, Lord, he went and got alone with you, and he renewed his strength in you. He called upon all the things that you've been faithful to him before and said, my God is still good. He's still sufficient. He's still powerful, and he's still for us. So we come to you like that today. Renew our strength. Build us up in this knowledge, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you, church. It's only 12:12. We're getting there.